Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with summer intern Jordan at the controls on the other side of the glass. Hello, Jordan. Thank you for coming in. You engineered and produced the show last Wednesday, did a great job. Of course, overseeing Jordan is our friend Ray Allen, making sure everything goes well, as it will, on this Wednesday, the 26th of July, 2017. Hope you're having a good day, good week. We're coming to you from Tucson's Voice. It's AM 1030 KVOI. We've got our live streaming. That means it's so easy to hear this program. Really, anywhere in the world, you just put in buckmastershow.com. You've got the live stream there. And, of course, KVOI, the station's website. So the live stream got you covered there. And we also have you covered with all of our podcasts. Very proud of the fact that pretty much every show we have done since we started this project in January of 2011 is archived at buckmastershow.com. Our live line number is 790-2040. If you have any questions or comments, we would be happy to take those. I also invite you to take a look at our Facebook page under my name, and we're on Twitter at buckmastershow. Well, why do we seek to enhance perpetuity in the violence, inequality, instability, and desperation that characterizes the Middle East today? That is going to be our question during the first half hour with Saad Alawi. Mr. Alawi is a native of Iraq. He worked as director of business development for the largest private conglomerate in Kuwait. He's a very popular public speaker here in the Tucson Valley. His latest presentation, which he just rolled out actually for the Rotary Club in Oro Valley, is titled Geopolitical Islam, which gives listeners a different take on what we see and hear on a daily basis. Saad is a national and international management consultant, and he's also an entrepreneur. He started up three consulting businesses for private and publicly traded companies. He co-founded a software business. His recent experience has been in the United States healthcare industry, where he led efforts to reduce costs in hospitals. He's also an author. Latest book, two books titled Grassroots Metamorphosis. Saad, welcome back to the program.
Thank you very much, Bill. It's a pleasure to be back.
There are so many misconceptions associated with Islam, and what would you say is at the top of the list when it comes to the way Americans think of Islam?
Well, the biggest issue is really Islam encompasses 1.6 billion people on the planet. That's 23% of the population. And there are a couple of major sects, Sunnis, which represent about 80%, and then Shiites, about 20%. And each of those has a number of branches. So when you look at Islam and you think about Islamic State and you think about Al-Qaeda, they represent a portion of a very small sub-branch called the Salafi movement and the Wahhabi movement. They're about 50 million out of the 1.6 billion. So they are adherents of that philosophy. And so they are in the press all the time, and people kind of think about them as representing Islam. Islam's 1.6 billion people. They're all different. They have different perspectives. They have different rules that they live by.
So in the big picture, ISIS is would you say very small player, how would you characterize that?
Well, the Salafi Wahhabi branch of Islam is about 50 million out of 1.6 billion. That's about 3%.
Okay, 3%.
And ISIL members and Al-Qaeda are even a smaller proportion of that. And they are as small as 0.02%. or about 300,000 worldwide, roughly.
But generally, Americans, and there are many Americans who believe that if someone is a follower of Islam, that they are a terrorist.
Yeah, a lot of people do. And the last thing I saw was actually 56% of Americans think that Islamic philosophy and Islamic law is inconsistent with American secular law and American constitution. And that may be true. I'm not a Muslim scholar, But I know that the philosophy that ISIL and Al-Qaeda follow, it's very, very different from the majority of what Islam follows.
How did you come to Islam when you were growing up in Iraq? What were your parents following as far as religion?
I was born as a Muslim, actually of the Shiite branch.
Okay.
But my parents were never really practicing Muslims. So we took it as a personal thing, and I never really practiced it all my life. Neither did my brother or my sister. So we were very much secularist. It's a private thing. Faith is a private thing as opposed to a public thing. You go to a mosque for it. I never did.
So let's begin with what you've been saying during your talks. You first begin with really starting at the beginning with Islam.
Yes. In order to understand Islam, you really have to understand the background and the history. The background, who was the Prophet Muhammad? What was his background? What did he do? How did he evolve? You need to understand that. And then after he died, there was a conflict on his succession. And that's where the first schism took place between Shiites and Sunnis. You need to understand a little bit of that. So I describe a little bit of that. And then I talk about the different empires that took charge of Islam, starting with the Rashidun, then the Umayyad Empire, then the Abbasid Empire. And then after that, Islam kind of disintegrated a little bit into the Ottoman Empire, the Safavid, and others. But the Golden Age was during the Abbasid Empire, which lasted from about 750 till about 1258 A.D. And that was truly the zenith of the empire. Between 900 A.D. and 1200 A.D., that was truly the zenith of the empire. It stretched from Spain all the way to the borders of China. There were many, many different people who lived under Islamic law and Islamic rule. It was very much more, in practice, it wasn't quite Islamic. It was more secular. They had a lot of Jews and Christians involved in the management of that whole empire.
What does the Quran say about violence? Getting back to the beginning, and what did the Prophet Muhammad, what did he say about violence? And many people believe that in the Quran, there's a lot of talk of violence. Is that true?
Yeah. Well, there are two things that I like to tell people about. There is a researcher by the name of Tom Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
He has a computer software program that ran through the Quran, the New Testament, and the Old Testament, looking for words that relate to violence and revenge. And what he found out, that in fact, in the Quran, 2.1% of the words relate to violence, whereas the New Testament is 2.8%, and the Old Testament is 5.3%. So it's not really about what's in the doctrine, it's about how people interpret it and how they actually apply it is where the violence comes in. That's different from the Islamic State position, because they are part of a group that actually has very, very conservative backgrounds, and secularism is not acceptable. A number of other items are not acceptable. And they actually follow violence to impose that will. So, yes, the Islamic State are very, very violent, but they follow a doctrine that's a subset of Islam. The other thing is, in 2014, when the Islamic State occupied Iraq and Syria, I'm not a scholar in Islam, so don't pretend to be, but 120 scholars from around the world wrote a letter, 24-point letter, chastising Islamic State for being un-Islamic, and they referred to all the things that Islamic State adheres to and does, and they say how that's inconsistent with the Quran and with the Hadith and the Sunnah, which are the two other elements that Muslims tend to abide by.
But Islamic State probably doesn't care what they say.
They don't care. No.
Now, how is the Taliban different from Islamic State? The Taliban of Afghanistan.
Yes, they are very conservative Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you consider the Taliban Salafis or not, but they probably adhere to that conservative branch of sub-branch of Islam. But they tended to be very oppressive in the way they ran their country. but not violent in the way that they wanted to expand their mission and their propaganda, if you will. It took Al-Qaeda to do that, but the Taliban were very conservative and very oppressive within the country in applying their rules.
Saad Alawi is with us. We'll continue our conversation with him. But first, I want to tell people about one of our fine sponsors, Green Things. Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito River Walk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. They're just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. This is a great time now to start thinking about your autumn planting. We've had some great rain, so this is the time to pay a visit to Jan and Jack over at Green Things. 790-2040, if you would like to join in the conversation, Saad would be happy to entertain your questions or your comments. We continue on Buckmaster right after this. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport with six airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects helping make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient, and improve mobility leads to a better economy and new jobs through the increased flow of people, goods, and services. More efficient access gets us to where we want to go faster, and that means more time for family. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
What comes to mind when you envision the holidays? If it means surrounding yourself with family and friends as you welcome treasured traditions, just imagine if those moments were paired with sinking your toes in fine white sand and exploring quaint seaside towns. This winter, spend your holiday with a sense of adventure on a family reunion vacation. At Bon Voyage, we specialize in bringing generations together through travel. This is the perfect time to plan. Call Bon Voyage Travel at 797-1110.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito River Walk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Thursday at noon, we talk with Pima County Supervisor Ramon Valadez. Also, we'll meet the new head of the Pima Animal Care Center. All on Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, with worldwide live listening podcasts and show archive at buckmastershow.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, this portion presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Great place to get away for the weekend or spend more time over there. It's just a three-hour drive to Silver City, hiking, camping, exploring historic Silver City, or just relaxing. It's really a lovely environment getting up there to that 5,000-6,000 foot elevation. Very pretty place and a nice place to kind of kick back. Go to southwestnewmexico.org for the complete list of the great places to stay and visit in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Now we continue our discussion with a gentleman I believe is a true Renaissance man. He's a resident of Oro Valley. Saad Alawi, he's really an outstanding representative of our community. He's a native of Iraq, and he's been giving, actually rolled out a new presentation, which he tested out. The test case was the Rotary Club in Oro Valley, and he's been talking about geopolitical Islam. Saad, are you available to other groups to make this presentation?
Yes, I am.
How do folks get a hold of you?
Probably, mm-hmm. I would imagine the best way is by email. Mm-hmm. Try sjalawi@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. Just send me an email. I am planning to have this presentation done in the early fall, mm-hmm. where in a bigger venue where we can ask more people, initially in the northwest part around Oro Valley or Dove Mountain. But if it looks like there's a lot of good reception for us, I might actually do it again in somewhere more central in Tucson. But I've spoken to all kinds of groups, church groups, Democrat groups, Republican groups, retirement communities. So I am available. Just let me know.
And I'm sure lots of questions come up about the comparison about Islam and Christianity, and that's one of the areas that you cover in your talk. When you look back at the history of Islam, is it going through perhaps a period that was similar to what Christianity went through in the Reformation?
Excellent point. That's exactly what it is. And in fact, the last section of my presentation, I talk about that. If you have to remember that Islam is the newest of the monotheistic religions. Mm-hmm. It came in 630 years after Christianity and about 1,800 years after Judaism. So what happened is Muhammad learned from a monk called Bahara while he was alive about Christianity and Judaism. But what happened during the Reformation around 1515 or so when it started, between 1515 and 1645, there were a number of wars that took place in Europe as a result of the schism between Protestants and Catholics. And in fact, when I started to do the research, I knew about some of these wars, but I did not know about all the other ones. So you're looking at about 130 years of violence that took place in Christianity. And I believe this is what's happening in Islam now between Shiites and Sunnis. It precipitated back in 2003 with our occupation of Iraq, and that kind of brought all the stuff up to the surface, and it started that ball rolling. And now it's becoming much more pervasive, and I think that's what's going to happen. And I actually take the 630, add it to the timeline, and see how long it would take probably for Islam to get from the violent period to a more peaceful period of coexistence.
Europe was an absolute mess, a very violent post-Reformation period. Before we move on, and I'll come back again to Islam, but I also, as I mentioned, you're a Renaissance man. Just curious about healthcare, because that's one of your specialists. You spent a lot of time in the U.S. healthcare industry, where you were really leading efforts to reduce costs in hospitals. Can this country afford single-payer healthcare system? Because many people think that's where we're going to end up with all this.
Yeah, I don't know if that's where it will end up. The key thing about healthcare is when we have to reduce the cost of healthcare overall, it's 18% of the gross domestic product of the United States now. And it's been growing for the last two or three decades at twice the rate of the gross domestic product. And it'll continue to grow. It will become unsustainable at some point, just like the financial services became unsustainable. So we really need to take the cost down by about 10 to 20%. None of the reform efforts that took place from Clinton all the way to today actually gives a goal or a target to reduce the cost of healthcare for lots of reasons, which we can get into or avoid. But the thing is, healthcare delivery, it's a service business. It's delivered locally. Yes, you have insurance on a national scale, but the service is delivered locally. So the solutions have to be local, which means at the state level. Your service organizations are different. Your insurance companies are different. So you have to do it in a bottom-up approach at the state level. Does that mean you'll end up with a single-payer system? Possibly. Medicare is the closest thing to it right now. And
VA, people point to that as well.
Yeah. And Medicare generally, I'm on Medicare, and it works pretty well. Mm-hmm. But the interesting thing is if you look at the British system, for example, and people complain about it, it's only 9.8% of their gross domestic product. But they don't really have a single-payer system. They have the National Health Service, which 90% of British are on, because they want a low-cost alternative health care. And then there is the other 10%, which is private. And that's offered to a lot of executives and managers in companies where they want to attract talent. So you could buy private insurance in Britain. It's just most people choose the low-cost option.
Well, speaking of healthcare, you're also involved with healing traumatic brain injuries in Arizona veterans using hyperbaric oxygen therapy known as HPOT. Now, how did you get involved with this?
Well, I got involved in this. One of my friends is a veteran, and he went through the procedure here in Tucson. There is a location, and he got very good results. And then I started to do the research, and the physician who offered this has been doing it for 14 years and would really like to treat the veterans with that approach because it's a treatment. It's not a way of managing symptoms. So I got involved for two reasons. One, because I thought it's the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. And the second thing, it's a cost-effective way of helping veterans. Instead of spending $25,000 on them to manage their symptoms a year, why not spend $12,000 once and get them treated? So that's what we're plugging right now. We've set up a not-for-profit organization that's collecting charitable donations that we can begin to treat the veterans here in Arizona.
How many can you treat with this charitable contribution?
Where initially it's 50 because we want to make sure that we have a proof of concept. And if it works pretty well, I've already spent a lot of time at the state capital. We'll get the private public funding to do it on an ongoing basis. There's an estimate of 13,000 veterans with traumatic brain injury in Arizona alone. So if we can treat a lot of them, that would be a fine thing to do.
Can you articulate very briefly how this particular therapy works?
Yeah. the patient goes into a chamber, and they get oxygen, pure surgical oxygen,
right,
at anywhere between 1.3 and 2.2 atmospheres. And when this oxygen, and it's a 1 hour at a time, they call them dives or sessions. And when the oxygen saturates your body, a lot of things happen. It improves the stem cell creation in your body. A lot of mitochondria get restarted. A number of things happen. So when you have a full course of it, it actually has shown that your brain, which was damaged from traumatic brain injury, will revert back to its original status before the damage.
Hmm.
Depending on the severity, number of patients.
We'll have to bring you back and spend a half an hour talking about that subject as well. But in the remaining minute or so, I want to bring it back to our lead topic with you, and that's the geopolitical Islam, past, present, and future. Where are we headed on this in summary here? What's your prediction?
A couple of things. One, the violence is going to continue for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And that's partially because of the schism inside Islam, but also partially because the subgroup that Islamic State and Al-Qaeda belong to have a very violent approach towards implementing their doctrine. So that's going to continue. My philosophy on it is it's not a war. A war is a project. It has a start time, an end time, Second World War, Korean War.
Right.
This is a police action. You mm-hmm. got to do it on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. So violence like this, terrorism, is a police action. You're going to have to manage it like a police thing, like drugs, mm-hmm. like you manage drugs, like you manage murder and other kinds of things.
All right, Saad Alawi, and he is available for your group. He'd be a terrific speaker. Another way to get an easy way, if you don't have a chance to kind of write down his email and everything, just go to buckmastershow.com.
Yeah.
Send me an email, and I will get you in touch with Saad. That's probably the easiest way at this point. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, Bill.
It's always a
Enjoyed
pleasure.
It.
All
Thank
right.
You.
It's 12:30 on the Buckmaster Show. We will meet. We're going to switch gears here completely. Now we're going to talk about University of Arizona Athletics, a new leader in the UA Athletic Department. We will meet him, introduce him to our listeners right after we take the mid-show break. Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant. Named after the classic New Orleans cocktail, Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Phillips Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Phillips Plaza.
The wet and wonderful monsoon season brings more than just rain as Tona Chule hosts local growers and nationally renowned plant experts for this year's annual Monsoon Madness Sale. For more than just plant nerds, anyone can come to buy the weird and wondrous and learn plant care from the professionals. Tona Chule's Monsoon Madness Plant Sale is Friday, July the 28th from 3 to 7 p.m. and Saturday, July the 29th from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. Come see us at 7366 North Paseo del Norte or visit our website at tehonachulepark.org.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from top national columnists, plus Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
The Twisted Tandoor, the legendary Indian food truck, now has a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu expands on the popular Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, it's at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive and on the web at thetwistedtandoor.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. The University of Arizona has a new athletic director, Dave Hickey. Dave has come to the Tucson area. He's been on the job now just a little under 5 months, coming to Tucson from Central Michigan University, where he shepherded the school's athletic department for 11 years. Before that, Mr. Hickey was at the University of Oregon's athletic department for 18 years. Dave Hickey replaces Greg Byrne. Greg, of course, moved on and is now at the helm of probably one of the premier programs in the United States, certainly the University of Alabama Athletic Department in Tuscaloosa. Dave Hickey, a pleasure to meet you, sir.
Well, it's great to be with you, Bill. Thanks for having me.
Why did you want this job? I know you were familiar, obviously, with West Coast athletics, being at Oregon, and I would think this U of A job is kind of one of the plum jobs in the country.
It's a terrific place. I think I was always looking for opportunities to to become a director at the elite level, and had a wonderful position at Central Michigan. And as you mentioned, I was at the University of Oregon for many years, so I have a great deal of familiarity with the Pac-12, and always was envious of Tucson and the University of Arizona when we'd come and visit. The great support that would be here. You know, Wildcat fans everywhere, just felt so comfortable. And then on top of that, you know, to have a world-class university, to be part of a community that has just one of those great institutions with so much diversity and so many different opportunities for young people to come and grow. So all of those kind of came together, and I knew some people who were involved in the search and kind of got my name, in the right order, and I'm really, really pleased, very honored to be here as the athletic director.
Yeah, we've had some great athletic directors, Sedgwick Dempsey. Did you know any of the early directors when you were up at Oregon?
I did. I knew Sed and knew Jim Livengood. Rocky LaRose, who was Rocky was here as a primary senior women's administrator, but served as an interim director. Just high quality people that ran great programs here of integrity. One of the most respected, I think, athletic programs around the country because of the leadership that's been here.
Any similarities that you see with the Central Michigan program and coming here to Tucson, some things that are similar?
Well, the weather's a lot different.
That's for sure.
But I think to a degree.
Was there the fan support that we like to think we have here in Tucson there in Central Michigan?
Well, no, not quite as much. You know, this Central Michigan was one of three regional universities in Michigan, so you are somewhat in the shadows of the Big Ten institutions in Michigan and Michigan State. But it was a 30,000-student very traditional setting there for young people to live on campus. So, it was a large state institution. So it had many of those facets that are similar to here at the University of Arizona. But again, it's another level. It's a different level competitively and financially. But much of the work we do, no matter what level or what institution you're at, is relatively similar in the way we conduct our programs, the way we go about managing those programs, funding those programs, and integrating those programs into the greater campus community.
You've hit the ground running certainly since April 1st, and actually wanted to wait a couple of months before I had you on the show because now you do have a little feel for the place. Kind of give us your assessment where UA Athletics are right now.
Well, again, a national brand, highly respected across the country, a jewel of a program in basketball, in the men's basketball side, obviously a real flagship program, but a great athletic program with a real storied tradition across the board. I like to call it a broad-based program. You know, a lot of our sports are successful. We're able to offer a lot of different opportunities for young people that can come here as student athletes and pursue their athletic interests, but also their academic interests. So you know, I think the program is in very solid, stable, great foundation. Greg Byrne, the previous athletic director, Greg and I are friends, know each other well. Actually, Greg's dad was an athletic director and hired me at the University of Oregon.
So that's what I thought. Yeah,
we're a little bit
integrated. He has some Oregon ties, certainly.
He does. He grew up there. And so again, had a lot of familiarity with what Greg was doing here. And I think the program's in an excellent position. I do believe that it's our responsibility now to try to vault it to a new level, look at opportunities. A big part of that will be investing in facilities. That will be a big thing going forward. Our facilities for our student athletes has fallen back a little bit, and for our fans, when you look at Arizona Stadium, beautiful old gem, but it is showing its age a little bit. Part of that was constructed in 1928. Yeah. So there's some things that need to be done to modernize our facilities.
Well, I've been around a while, 30 years here in this town. I remember Dick Tomey, of course, Coach Tomey, talking about, this would have been in the 1990s, how we needed to kind of upgrade our facilities to put us in the 21st century. Yeah, we did. We moved forward. But again, now you got to move forward again, right?
Yeah, you do. And I think just like any successful business or operation, and also across our campuses, across the country, investment in facilities, in higher education, and be that in sports, are really important for us to be able to attract, recruit, retain the very best students and student athletes so that they can come to our universities. It's a big part of the recruiting process. Again, just like I say, when a student comes to campus, they want to look at those facilities that they'll be in, whether it's their res hall, where they want to study, the programs of excellence that we have. And generally, you center around the investment that's been done in facilities.
Let's take a couple of calls. I think we'll go to Matthew, actually, first. Matthew has a question for Dave Hickey, the new athletic director. He's been on board since April 1st. I think we can still call you new, probably.
I feel still new. I'm learning.
Maybe first 6 months, anyway. Matthew, go ahead. You're with Mr. Hickey.
Well, first of all, thank you for accepting the position. I think that you, people forget that you guys have, a lot of opportunities, and we're just as lucky to get you. And we appreciate you coming to the U of A and taking on an awesome responsibility. It might be the next to being the president of the University of Arizona, it might be the most important job at the U of A.
Certainly high profile, Matthew.
Certainly you're going to feel the pain for every loss.
He is.
And the glee for every successful win. But really, you know, it's a momentous time, too, because USA Today just reported recently that we for the first time, the athletics department actually lost money. And there is a discussion also about charging the new incoming students with some sort of fee. I don't know if you've had a chance to review any of those issues. Also, you're coming off a very difficult time for U of A, where we've just seen funding across the board in all the departments. The state budget has declined as a part, and the U of A's had to find new sources of money. So I don't want to start you with a downer. I want to say, we got a great, always look forward to a great football and basketball season. But we know that you also are picking up a task at a very difficult time. We're facing a lot of tipping points. And just thank you, and I look forward to your comments.
Thanks, Matthew. Dave Hickey, some of the challenges that Matthew kind of alluded to there.
Well, no question. And these are common challenges, I believe, around the country. While I was at the University of Oregon, while I was at Central Michigan University, the decline of state funding for higher education for our great colleges and universities around the country, and especially hitting hard those state institutions that have been in the fabric of our educational process for young people. That's very challenging, and certainly we need to be cognizant of that fact. At the same time, athletics continues to move and roll, and we want to be a key component of the overall brand of the university. We are not an entity out on its own doing our own thing. We're just another unit of the university, and we want to do that in a very positive way, bring great attention to the university, provide a great deal of exposure, and fundamentally do a terrific job of educating and growing the student athletes in our program so they can go out and be contributing members of the communities and the society that they go into and bring great value to that. So those are important pieces. These are not easy days for all of us in this enterprise, and I call all of us are in higher education. Again, don't want to be a separate entity. And I appreciate the kind words. I'm very honored to be here. Finances are always a challenge. Some of the information reported through USA Today are a little bit misleading. We've always had a positive fund balance. While there was a small additional amount of dollars that were resourced this last year that I inherited, those were covered by a fund balance that we have. So there was no negative or debt that was acquired by the athletics department per se. It was completely funded through that additional, for a lack of a better term, small rainy day fund that is there that could absorb those additional expenses.
And if you would articulate real quickly for us, Dave, the fee structure that will be going into effect and what that money will be used for.
Sure. The fee structure for students, incoming students, freshmen, and transfers, and then graduate students as well, although the graduate students will have the option to opt in or opt out of the fee. That provides some additional resources, relatively common across the board and across the country, but it was a modest $100 fee that will then be allocated for certain priorities inside the athletics department, one being facility enhancements that will help our students when they attend our games at McHale Center and at Arizona Stadium, specifically Arizona Stadium. We have a lot of challenges with our fans there and our students. We want to invest in that as we go forward.
Dave Hickey will stick around for our final segment on the Buckmaster Show on this midweek edition. We'll take our break right here, 790-2040. If you would like to enhance our conversation with Mr. Hickey, feel free to call in. But right now, let's hear from the great people who support the Buckmaster Show and make all of this possible. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority is on track to deliver the remainder of the promised projects in the 20-year plan, now in its 11th year. A recent 10-year performance audit finds the RTA sticking to the plan and schedule. The RTA applauds our members and partners for helping us to stay on schedule and to improve our transportation network for everyone. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov. Medicare.gov.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show Midweek Edition, having a conversation about UA athletics with the new leader of the University of Arizona Athletic Department. Dave Hickey is here. Dave coming from Central Michigan University, but prior to that, he knows about our league and West Coast football, basketball, baseball, you name it, nearly 20 years at the University of Oregon. Let's go back to the live line. Sheldon has been waiting a long time. Sheldon, I know you've got multiple topics, but so do I. So I'm going to ask you, please, give me just what's your one topic that you would like to ask, Mr. Hickey?
Women's softball. I attended all the tournament games at Hillenbrand Stadium.
The softball,
last
yeah.
year, and we almost went to the College World Series. Coach Ken Graham, and this will go to our new president, Robbins, should he be suspended for a few games when Pac-12 season begins, because we were winning in the last inning, and then he just pulled the O'Toole. We were winning the game in the seventh inning. We would have gone on with that win against the Baylor Bears in the College World Series.
Okay, Sheldon. Dave Hickey, how would you respond to that?
Well, sure. Hey, we all are pretty passionate about that softball program. They do an excellent job.
A fan who is upset about that particular game.
Yeah, hey, you know, we get in those moments that are very challenging, but Mike Candrea is one of the premier coaches. I'd put him up against any coach in any sport as the kind of quality human being he is, the success he's had, the knowledge base he has, a late 8 national championships. He is truly one of the great ambassadors of the game of softball and leaders for young women. I'm just I can't say enough about Mike, and he's really a gem, and we want to keep him here for a very, very long time leading our program. Mike is what everything that's good about college athletics, and that's how I'll answer that one, I guess.
Okay, and you had a new hire, I guess. Was this your first hire?
It was.
Okay. Tell our listeners about who you hired.
Well, real proud to introduce Augie Bush as our new swim and dive head coach, our combined program, both the men and women. He's the leader of that program. Storied program that the name may be familiar. Augie was on our staff under his father, Frank Bush.
Mm-hmm. Who was there for years.
Yes, here for years. Again, national championships, and then retired from Arizona to become the head of USA Swimming. So proud to bring Augie back in. Our program has gone through a couple of rough series here, and I think it's really positioned, though, to be highly successful under Augie's leadership. He comes to us with a lot of experience as a former head coach at the University of Houston and then most recently at the University of Virginia. So he comes back across the country to lead the Wildcats in swimming, and we're excited about the future there.
Well, one of my favorite times of the year is coming up. Actually, Monday, I think, is kind of the team will be reporting. Football season starts to crank up in July. And actually, I think this is kind of media week for the Pac-12 over in Los Angeles. All the media writers get together and cast their ballots for how the teams will be doing. Arizona is picked to be in kind of the bottom half of the South. But sometimes that can be an incentive, I guess.
you bet. Maybe we can be a little bit under the radar. You know, certainly last year wasn't the type of season that any of us expect from Arizona football. And certainly Coach Rodriguez doesn't expect that in his players. So looking forward to the future there, that this should be an exciting year. A number of injuries last year. So I like where we are. And, you know, we're going to come out of the pack. And I know we're going to give great effort each and every game. And I believe we have a football program that can make some noise.
What is the future of our stadium? And I know we were talking just briefly in the first segment about the fee. So what do you see for Arizona Stadium? And are there some possibilities of naming rights? I mean, that seems to be a real big thing around college football these days.
Yeah, I think that's a potential new revenue
opportunity.
Has that come
up at all? Or?
I think there's been some conversations. It's not something we're pursuing hotly right now.
Okay.
There's no doubt that our football stadium needs to be enhanced, and from an overall perspective, from a fan perspective, the amenities that we need are many right now. And so we're taking a very detailed look at the plans that exist, but we want to make some major modifications through the next 5 years to that stadium that will be, you know, we've done a nice job with the Lowell Stevens Football Center and the Sands Club in the end zone, the north end zone. But we need to modify some of the other seating areas and amenities, you know, right down to restrooms and concessions and concourse space that is actually quite dysfunctional right now in the stadium. It's a beautiful gem. It's an old place that has tremendous history.
It's got, as they say, good bones.
It has good bones. And there's some of them, as we said, that have been there since 1928.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. So one of the issues that comes up is the start time. And I know it's hard for the institutions to have a lot of say on this because of television, but folks have complained, you know, of the late start time, some of the games getting underway about 8:30.
Yeah.
That makes for a late night.
It does. It certainly makes for a late night, not only here for our local residents, but those who come in from areas, you know, whether that's up in the Phoenix area or beyond. It's very challenging. We hear that. It's a concern for all of us in the conference and really across the country. The abundance of television and the way television has begun to really dictate game times. And you see it all the way down into the Big Ten, where we're now going to play. They're going to play games on Friday nights.
That's
something unheard of.
I was just going to use that word, unheard of.
Midwest.
Both you and I grew up on Midwest football. You in East Lansing, me in the Wilmette Evanston area with Northwest. Were you kind of a Big Ten fan growing up and following the Spartans?
Yeah, I grew up in the shadows of Michigan State, that right. You might call, as a young kid, that was our backyard that we loved to play on campus. So, yeah, the shadows of Big Ten football and major college sports were a big part of my life growing up. And then I was an athlete my entire life as well. And so, continued to pursue it. And I think that college sports are really a transformational opportunity for young people and a way to, you know, to really highlight the great things that happen on college campuses.
What was your sport?
You know, I was a baseball player in college, but really I pursued ice hockey
All
for
right.
a long time.
Hockey guy.
In the Midwest,
Yeah,
you need to do something in the winter. So
oh, yeah.
That's what I really grew up on is those two sports. I was fortunate to go to college and play baseball at the Division III level at Albion College. And I share a little story with the listeners. I'm one of three athletic directors now at the University of Arizona who all share the same undergraduate institution, Albion College, from this little one-hole town. One horse town in the middle of Michigan. Sed Dempsey is an Albion College graduate.
Right.
And Pop McHale, who the McHale Center is named after, is an Albion graduate. So I don't know what that means. I know it means I have very big shoes to fill, and I don't
This will help me in Trivial Pursuit. if you've really helped me here.
That, okay.
Expansion. I'm almost out of time, but expanding the Pac-12, is that on the table, or right now things fairly stable?
I think they're fairly stable, but every day you go to bed thinking it's totally stable, it changes the next day. But we're very comfortable with our size and the scope of our conference. It would take something quite significant for us to change that scope. This is one of the very, very premier leagues.
Traditional schools.
Yeah, we talked about the Midwest. I look back to, the Rose Bowl and the connection we have to those, to the Big Ten and the Pac-10. Those are the pillar conferences in this country.
I can remember going to the early Northwestern games as a little kid when Oregon and Oregon State would come to town. Mm-hmm. It was always a big deal. There's always that rivalry, Ten and the West.
That's right.
All right, Dave Hickey, thank you very much. Tickets are on sale now for the football season?
They certainly are. We've got single game tickets on. Still have season tickets available, but I urge people to come on out and help our programs. There's no better way, and I say this, no better way to support all of our programs than through the purchase of season tickets in football, because those dollars really are allocated throughout our entire program.
Dave Hickey, thank you. It was a pleasure to meet you, sir.
Thanks. It's good to be with you, Bill. Thanks for having me.
All right. Coming up this afternoon, Mic Check with Mike Shaw, another one of our fine talk shows here from 4 to 5 on KVOI. We do 3 hours in the morning of local talk on Wake Up Tucson, then me, Bill Buckmaster, back with you for our afternoon show at 12:04. On behalf of the summer intern, Jordan, another really fine show today, engineering producing with Ray Allen overseeing. On behalf of all of us, have a great afternoon and evening.